Good evening and welcome to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Steve Scheer, sitting in for Jeffrey Davis. We have another great show tonight, as we always do. And we have a return guest we haven't seen for a while or heard from a while, Greg Stoller. He's now a guest senior lecturer at Boston University. Greg, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Stephen. It's good to be back.
Excellent. So tell us, it's 2016. You're at BU now. What's going on?
I'm very excited to be at BU. It's at the Questrom School of Business. Yep. It's a wonderful opportunity. I just found out a few days prior all of the international exposure work that we've been doing at Boston College has now been officially approved at Boston University.
Fantastic.
So I'm pleased to let you know and the listeners know that I'll be taking BU students to Hong Kong and Beijing, China in March to meet with at least 10 different companies about their business practices. And also in March, we'll begin recruiting students for the next edition of the MBA International Consulting Project, where my client is a boutique strategy consulting firm in Beijing. We do work for their clients who are publicly traded and privately held Chinese firms. So we'll start that analytical work in June and expect to bring BU Questrom students over to Beijing in January of 2017.
Now, obviously, you're going back to Asia, which you used to do frequently for BC. How does this program, or does it differ at all from the BC days?
BU, especially Questrom, is a wonderful place.
Right.
And again, I had a terrific 15 years at Boston College, so I don't want to compare A versus B and be accused of casting aspersions at anybody. I'm very happy, and we all left with our heads high, et cetera, from BC. But BU is just a really dynamic place. It has a ton of resources. People have been incredibly supportive. I love our students. I love the diversity in our students. And I just love the fact that vis-a-vis, you know, what we're talking about at Radio Entrepreneurs, that it has such an international flair to it.
So the program is similar to BC. I'm not saying one is better than the other.
Correct. It is similar in the sense that, like Boston College, they have a full-time MBA program and an evening MBA program that BU refers to as PEMBA. They also have an executive EMBA program and do a lot of executive education that Boston College didn't do as much in. And, of course, you have a very vibrant BU undergraduate population. Most of the work I did at Boston College was on the graduate side.
Right.
So this is my first experience in a while. I have taught undergrads in the past, but this is my first experience in a while teaching undergrads at BU, and I love it. It's just absolutely fantastic.
Obviously, there's a difference between undergrads and grads, I can imagine, right?
Correct, right. Yeah. I mean, just to give you a flavor, and I think this particular class that I taught in the fall semester was a little bit skewed. I think it was luck of the draw, but of the 30-odd students that I had, something like 20 or 25 of them were from outside of the United States.
Really?
So I think that, in general, that's probably even higher by BU standards.
Wow.
But the fact of the matter is it's directionally correct that there are just a ton of international students running around, and I love it, and I absolutely love it. And of course, our grad students are terrific as well.
So tell us again, you haven't been on in a while, explain the whole process. You're going overseas. What the schedule is going to be like?
Sure, absolutely.
Tell us all about it.
Thank you. Happy to do so. Yeah. So let's start with the upcoming March trip. This is an opportunity, as I described to the students, to kick the academic tires of international business. So I could talk for hours on end in a four-walled classroom about what it's like to do international business or international entrepreneurship or negotiate international contracts, etc. I think it's a horse of a different color if you actually are going into the region and meeting with these executives directly and having the opportunity to prepare in Boston, then going over to meet with the executives and then thinking about it after the fact, reflecting upon it, and then writing a multi-page paper, etc. That's essentially the course. Whereas, and I think it's very complementary to study abroad programs. So people who have done study abroad traditionally will study in a single country. They might take trips to other countries on the weekend or on school breaks, and they might even do an internship, but most of it is usually a single country and at least one city, maybe two. This program in March is meant to be, as I said, complementary to that. It's two countries, Hong Kong and China. It is multiple companies. We will set the students through send the students through 7 different preparatory sessions in the United States on campus. We will profile the 10 companies that we're going to be meeting with. Mm-hmm. The students will be assigned in pairs to become topic area experts and company experts and brief the rest of our team on who we're going to be meeting, what their history is, what sort of articles might have been published in the popular press. I will take them during spring break to meet with these 10 companies and, of course, sightseeing along the way. We will come, of course, may we. And then we will come back after spring break, and the students will then write a multi-page research paper reflecting on their experience, etc.
You mentioned the 10 companies. Are these all Chinese-based companies?
Great question, right. So these are, as you know, Stephen, from my work on the show, I've been fortunate enough to be traveling to Asia since 1991, mm-hmm. And in China in particular since 1994. 8 of the 10 companies are from my network, and by design, they are big companies, small companies, some companies started by men, some companies started by women, some of them are privately held, some of them are publicly traded, some of them are U.S. companies that are doing business in Asia. Mm-hmm. Others are Chinese or Hong Kong conglomerates, etc. The other 2 companies, 9 and 10, also by design, are companies that have a BU connection. So we're trying to tap into the BU alumni network. So 2 of the 10 have connections with BU alums, etc.
I remember we used to come on the show in the past. You loved doing this program.
I absolutely. I'm so fortunate. Don't get me wrong. I'm so honored to have the opportunity to join the folks at BU. But the fact that they have been so welcoming and the fact that they have been endorsing so much of what I was doing at Boston College for 15 years, I'm just absolutely thrilled.
I mean, it's a heck of a program. I'd love to be one of your students. I mean,
thank you.
How do you choose the students to be involved in this program?
So let me first tell our listeners about the second program, just to compare and contrast. Yep. The second program is, again, meant to be complementary to other work that they're doing in graduate school. This is consulting.
Right.
This is a single country, a single company, et cetera. In this particular case, my client is a boutique strategy consulting firm. Mm-hmm. They do work for publicly traded and privately held Chinese companies, although they do have non-Chinese clients. To answer your question, we get resumes and cover letters from the students in March. Mm-hmm. I read through them. The strategy consulting firm reads through them. We make a decision based on what's in their pipeline as to which 15 students working in 3 5-person teams would probably best help out the future research mm-hmm. and business development efforts. In June, we get the project assignments from the clients. So last year, just to give some comparison, we did 3 projects, one on cross-border mergers and acquisitions, a second in mobile pay tendencies, and a third in business model innovation. Mm-hmm. The students will start their research either through independent studies in the summer or in the fall through coursework. We will send 3 updates to the client in terms of mini PowerPoint presentations with copious speaker's notes in September, October, and then December. And then I fly over with the students the first week of January. The students present twice, once to the strategy consulting firm and a second time to their clients.
No rest for the weary, of course. I mean, you're just moving and moving.
Well, I'm so excited to be able to do this. So to answer your question, for that program, it's obviously resume and cover letter. For the March program, it is a variant of that. We had the students apply. We had the students actually write essays out as to why they think they should earn a spot, mm-hmm. how it's going to work towards their future opportunities at Questrom, how it's going to work for their future opportunities after they graduate with their undergraduate degrees. And we ended up really being selective this time around. We turned away a few students. We have a number of students who are excited, and the first class is in a couple days.
Now, this program will be next year also. It's a yearly endeavor or
correct.
Not?
We're hoping that this is going to be yearly.
Okay.
We've chosen spring break just because we know that the undergraduates are most likely going to be available. And, you know, we're limiting it to juniors and seniors so that people have had a little bit of schooling under their belt. We also are opening it selectively to non-business students. So whether it be the College of Arts and Sciences or the College of Engineering, I'm always, as you know, about cross-functional teams.
Yes.
And we are very excited at the quality of student application we've received and the diversity of the students as well.
I'm going to ask you, deviate a little bit from what I'm asking you now, because you are an expert in international business. 2016, I'm looking at the international business world right now. There's some tough things going on in the world economy. What do you think? Again, you don't have to predict, but is the world? I mean, there's problems in Asia. There are problems in the United States and Europe. What do you think 2016 bodes?
I think that I was hoping that, you know, like a publicly traded company right. that has a bad quarter or even a bad couple of quarters, and they tend to take extraordinary hits to their income statement in order to sort of get everything written off at the same time right. and hoping to sort of wipe the decks clean and move on. I was hoping that was going to be 2015 right. and we would start anew in 2016 with everything being fresh. Unfortunately, that's not the case, at least for the first couple of weeks. I think to answer right. your question directly, unfortunately, every one of these large economies is inextricably linked with one another.
Right, right.
So it's no longer the U.S. operating in a vacuum. It's no longer China operating in a vacuum. Unfortunately, problems with China's real estate market
right.
or domestic consumption or imports and exports are either going to directly or indirectly affect other economies, one of which obviously is the United States. So like you, I'm not in the predictions side
right,
of things,
right, right.
but I think that Q1 is going to be a little bit sobering. I know that last year in 2015, the commodity markets really took a hit. You know, you have to look at this always as a double-edged sword.
Right.
Oil being as inexpensive as it is, yes. is great for the consumer, especially in terms of automotive prices and heating oil for the winter. It's absolutely wreaking havoc in terms of yes. these large conglomerates, whether it be oversupply or production or whatnot. And it's going to bring the equity markets for a loop for a while until this gets resolved.
Obviously, this is only the beginning of January. We see what the markets are doing in the United States at this point. China
is trying to reinvent itself.
Right.
I think that the government has been trying to very indiscreetly try and improve things. That's moved from a discreet approach to a somewhat more direct approach. And I think right now that, listen, China is the world's second largest economy. It's not going to go bankrupt.
And growing.
Right,
yes.
and growing. It's not going to go bankrupt. It's not going to fold in the tent and go away.
No.
I think what's happening, though, is that it is going through a correction. I think to the rest of the world, everyone assumes a planned economy doesn't ever have to
right.
do that because
right.
it's a planned economy. I've been saying for years, and I love China, so this is nothing against China, that every economy, whether it's planned or market driven, whether it's big or small, is going to go through its requisite 6 to 8 year boom and bust cycles.
Right, right.
And unfortunately, right now, China is at somewhat of a trough in terms of its economic performance. It's going to get better. The same way that our own equity markets in the United States in 08, 09, and 2010 had a lot of red ink, and everybody was, you know, engaging in the requisite hand-wringing and woe is me and woe is us how is this going to happen? And we've recovered. Again, we're not back to the go-go years in the United States
right,
of the dot-coms
right.
of 2000, et cetera, but we certainly are a heck of a lot better than we would have been in, you know, 08 and 09.
Well, Greg, once again, we love having you on the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be back and appreciative of the opportunity to return.
Again, you're going to come back more frequently in 2016, we hope.
Yes.
It's Greg Stahl, senior lecturer at Boston University. Greg, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Yes, they can now use my new BU email
That's
address.
What we
I'm
want.
Excited to be able to share this with our listeners. That's gstoller@bu.edu. G is in Greg, S is in Sam, T is in Tom, O-L-L, E is in Edward, R is in Robert, @BU.edu.
Fantastic. Great. Well, this is great. Again, we've been listening to Greg Stahler, a return guest. He's now with BU, and I'm Stephen Scheer, Radio Entrepreneurs. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back with another story. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.